finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.
An electric buzz settled at Eden Gardens this weekend with the first pink ball day-night test played on Indian soil. 19 wickets for Indian Pacers, the match finishing in 7 sessions across 3 days, India winning their 4th consecutive test by an innings margin, their 12th successive test series win on home soil, but more importantly, the pink ball passing the litmus test. History has been made and indeed a marker has been set for future day-night test cricket in India. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Hotspot, where we are going to bring something new to you. A twist in the format in keeping with the twist in Test cricket format experience this weekend. As opposed to our usual long discussion format, this is a hot take. A short, crisp episode focusing spotlight on the biggest topic of this week. And there is nothing else to talk about but that pink ball day-night test. So welcome to the first ever Hotspot hot take. As always, I am Chetan Narula, sports journalist and broadcaster, and with me, former Indian cricketer and broadcaster Deep Das Gupta. Deep, you were there at the Eden Gardens for this test match. Capture the magic of Eden Gardens for our listeners. What did you witness this weekend? What difference to the usual test cricket?
Hello, Chetan, and hello to all our viewers. Well, it was more like a festival, to be honest. It was more like an event. In fact, I was in one of the interviews, I spoke to Ishan Sharma, and he summed it up beautifully. He said, I asked him what was, the feeling like, and he mentioned the fact that it felt more like an IPL game than a test match. So that's how the feeling was. It was like festive. The mood was festive. Not just the 3 days of test match cricket, it was 3-4 days preceding the test match where the whole city of Calcutta turned pink and everything. And I don't know, it was a psychological thing or not. I was seeing more people wearing pink clothes. I don't know whether, like I said, it was psychological or what, but everything about Calcutta for the last 1 week has been predominantly pink. It's not Jaipur. Step over Jaipur. It's Calcutta now.
The pink city of India. You mentioned in the last episode it was Durga Puja 2.0, and certainly it felt like that with all the dance and song and celebration after the day's play on day one. And of course, the crowd attendances were really, really good. I'm told there were 60,000 people on each day, and which is magical considering that on day three at lunchtime, you knew that the match would be wrapped up very, very quickly within a session, if not within 8 overs, as it was the case. So even then, 50,000 people coming in watching, it was sold out and it was close to packed on all 3 days. A lot of Bangladeshi fans also coming over, a lot of pink shirts, a lot of green shirts, and a lot of excitement overall. Kolkata has always taken a liking for any major cricket event. And this was a major episode in Indian cricket history, to be honest. But here, we need to take a breather. We need to sit back. We need to do a post-mortem on what pink ball day-night test cricket means at this moment in Indian cricket. Yes, the cricket was there. Let's be honest, the game was there. It was not the highest quality games. Yes, Ishan Sharma took those 9 wickets, 8 wickets for Umesh Yadav. Virat Kohli with a superb 100, batting on, totally different pitch, totally different conditions to other batsmen. But it's not about the cricket. It was not at all about the cricket, was it, Deep?
Oh, well, it was much more than the game itself. And also the fact that if you look at the bigger picture, it was also predominantly because of cricket and test cricket. Because the reason behind organizing this day-night test match was the fact that not too many people were coming to the stadium. The viewership was kind of going down or dipping. So something needed to be done. And I think from that perspective, as you mentioned, and I've been told over 2 days and a session, more than 1.5 lakh people came to the stadium. That just tells you the success of this first day and night pink ball test match, because that's exactly the reason why you organized it, so that more and more people came and watched the game live. And I don't remember the last time I saw so many people watching or at the stadium watching a test match. So I think from that perspective, it's a huge success. for the sport, for test cricket.
They spend a crore rupees in terms of marketing. And today I was reading a report that Virat Kohli said we should spend as much money for every test match, test cricket at other centers, or even the regular test cricket, not just pink ball test cricket, in terms of visibility of cricket, in terms of visibility of the match, whether it's on television, at the ground. It was a success, all right. But was it a success in terms of saying, okay, pink ball day-night test cricket should be a regular feature on the Indian cricket calendar? What do you think, Deep?
I think it should be, but pink ball cricket or day-night cricket cannot replace red ball. This is my personal point of view. It cannot replace. Test cricket, I believe, still needs to be red ball and white clothes and played during the day. But every now and then, it's like your immune system, right? From every now and then, you need booster shots. And I think pink ball and day and night test matches should be treated as a booster shot every now and then. And that's where I think it should be an annual event in the home calendar, in the home season that we have now in India, right? So between the month of September to November. I think that's where it has to be an annual event. But if you're asking me whether pink ball takes over red, no, it does not. For me, it does not.
In my opinion, I think there is a little more investigation that needs to be done in terms of whether, you know, we would get similar numbers if we have a pink ball test in another situation or in another venue. You know, because Eden Gardens is a huge ground. I'm not saying it's easier to fill it up. It's actually tougher to fill it up. But you also have to understand that there was a bit of a novelty around the pink ball. It's never happened before in Indian cricket. So the excitement of a first ever pink ball test match or a day-night test match was palpable. You could just see it in the fans who were there, probably half of them, just to see, okay, how is it different to your regular day test cricket? So would it be the same in Mumbai? Would it be the same in Chennai? Or even the bigger question is, once pink ball day-night test cricket becomes a regular feature on the calendar, would attendances dip or not dip? And which is where the question arises, is this the only way to save test cricket in India or indeed promote it?
I would say this is not the only way. And I think we've had an extensive chat about it a couple of shows ago, all can be done. But yes, this is one of the ways and one of the very important ways of doing it, because see, end of the day, yes, you have the tradition of the sport of test cricket, which is red ball and day, and you know, have your lunch time and your tea time. But there is also a very, very important aspect, which are the viewers, people who actually are patrons of test cricket. Now with our lives being as fast as they are, you've got to make time for them, right? So I think from this perspective alone. Now, if you, and I was speaking to someone and he made a very valid point. Now, if you're going to have, let's say, after working hours, if you can have cricket for 4 hours, it's not possible to play all 6 hours of a match post the working hours. But if you can manage to put in 3 to 4 hours of a match post the traditional working hours, then there is a definite chance of increasing the number of viewers for test match cricket. And those are the things, as you mentioned. I mean, listen, this day and night test match was great. Yes, it had novelty factor attached. But again, as I mentioned, this pink ball cannot take over red, because obviously you lose that novelty factor if this becomes a regular event and you have 3-4 test matches and out of 6-7 test matches we usually play at home every year. So this can be an annual event. That is number one. Secondly, I think irrespective of the venue, I think the popularity of day and night tests or the hype will be the same, depending on a few factors. For example, you mentioned Mumbai, Wankhede, heart of the city where the stadium is situated, 100% yes. Chennai, 100% yes. I think venue-wise, it won't make a difference, but you can't be playing day and night test match regularly. Once a year, yes.
Interesting points there, Deep, and I'll take them one by one. The first point that you mentioned was about the timing of the day's play, that, okay, maybe we have 3 or 4 hours after the regular office hours. If you look at this test match in particular, the last session started at 6 p.m. Yes, dew was a factor, which will always be a factor in majority of the venues, test cricket venues in India. Maybe, say, in Visakhapatnam or Chennai, which is my understanding, that there might not be as much of a dew problem. So are you saying that we need to have maybe two sessions after 6 p.m.? Because this was just one session. This was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Novelty factor, first test, Kolkata, city of, you know, joy and city of people mad about cricket. But if it is a regular Monday, Tuesday, if it was, say, Australia, England, and the match progressed to days 4 and day 5, no disrespect to Bangladesh, but if on a Monday you have test day-night test cricket going on in a city and only one session after 6 p.m., that to me beats the point, doesn't it?
Listen, 6 p.m., again, it boils down to where the stadium is situated. For example, let's say the stadium itself is outside city limits, right? So the travel time increases. So I can understand it'll take you, let's say, post 6 to reach or around 6 to reach after office regular office hours. But if the stadiums, as I mentioned, somewhere like Mumbai, Chennai, you know, Bangalore, because it's in the heart of the city, it's easier to reach the stadium. And let's be honest, this wasn't a perfect case scenario. This was the first day and night pink ball test match. Obviously, there'll be a lot of feedback taken from the players, from the organizers, from the curator, and things will be worked on it. Even, I mean, for that matter, the ball itself. I know for a fact the SG, the manufacturer of this pink ball, they were here yesterday during the test match, speaking to the players, speaking to the match referee, speaking to the curator, trying to make this a better product. So I think this is just the beginning. Obviously, out of this game, there'll be a lot of feedback taken and things will be worked on those areas.
In terms of the ball, let's talk about the ball, the pink ball. How much of a success was the pink ball, the SG pink ball? Yes, it has a more pronounced seam in terms of the linen seam to absorb the dew. Were you happy with the way the ball, you know, was used in the match in terms of how the players responded to it? There were certain incidents. Even we could see the slip fielders, they were not able to side the ball at times. Three batsmen, Bangladeshi batsmen, were hit on the head, leading to questions that, you know, maybe there's a problem with visibility of the ball. No disrespect again, but the Bangladeshi pacers did not have the movement or the pace to hurt the Indian batsmen. But when you're facing somebody like Jofra Archer, because I mentioned Jofra Archer because India's next home test is against England in January 2021. That's a 5-test series. And assuming one of those tests is a day-night test, you know, Jofra Archer bowling at 92, 95 with that pink ball in the twilight session. That's going to be a totally different proposition. Or you have India go to Australia. My point is, facing Jofra Archer, Pat Cummins, Josh Hazlewood is totally different from the Bangladesh cases. Yes.
I get your point. And as I mentioned, this is not a perfect case scenario. But you've got to start somewhere, right? Yeah. This ball, if you're asking me, is it perfect? No, it's not. But if you're asking me if I'm happy or not, yes, I am. You've got something to work with. Right. Now, the issues are basically a couple of issues there. One, obviously, you have to keep that lacquer and that pink color, which was more orangish because of the visibility issues. And they will be working on it. Now, do you really need the lacquer? Because it's the lacquer which gives that hardness to the ball and that pace and movement. They're working on it. They're working on different kinds of leathers. They're experimenting on different kind of leathers. If you could get a leather where it's still very visible without the lacquer and the usual wax that we have on the red ball. So I think those are areas where you know, people will be experimenting and working on and researching on. So things will change. And as far as you mentioned about playing a day and night away from home. Mind you, when you're playing away from home, it's not going to be this SG ball. It's going to be the usual Kookaburra pink ball, which is softer than this. The feel of that Kookaburra pink is softer than this. This pink ball had more of, I know anyone who's played cricket in the 70s and 80s, there used to be a ball called Sonex, Vincerex, you know, was the main balls then, which was kind of like this, which had a lacquer on top, which had a layer on top, and this has that feel which is very, very hard. It's hard on the fielders. It is hard on the batsman and the bat itself. We saw a couple of bats broken. So that's something that I think the manufacturers of the cricket ball will be looking into, and away from home, it's a different ball, which is a lot softer than this one.
Right. The other point that you had mentioned, Deep, was about, you know, where the venues are. You know, you talk about Kolkata, which is bang in the heart of the city. You talk about Wankhede. You talk about Delhi, Chennai, Bangalore, bang in the heart of the city. Easier to get off work and come to the ground, especially in Mumbai and Calcutta and Delhi. What happens to Virat Kohli's five-center formula? Yes, we know he's not stuck to his guns. He's not saying, okay, no, only five test centers. But should pink ball test cricket or pink ball day-night test cricket be restricted to a few centers? You can have your regular day test cricket, daytime test cricket at, say, Indore and Nagpur, because Nagpur or Rajkot, for example, they are totally out of the city. And you're talking about Ranchi, where people, again, out of the city. So, you know, these new centers, or even Nagpur is an old center, but these centers which are out of the city are far away from the city center, pink ball day-night test cricket there is maybe not such a great idea. So only a restrictive number of test venues in India where you can have pink ball day-night test cricket?
Yeah, I would agree to that. I would agree to that. In fact, I would also say you restrict the number of test venues in the country. Mm. Because even though I don't agree with the five-venue formula, and I think Virat too came out with the clarification what he actually meant by that, I think there has to be very strict parameters for a test venue in terms of the accessibility to the ground, how much cricket is played there, international cricket is played there right through the year, you know, things like that, you know, facilities inside the stadium in terms of shade and the basic utilities that a viewer, because end of the day, you would need to make it viewer friendly. All those stadiums which are viewer friendly, spectator friendly, should always be given more preference to the others. Right, and the same goes with day and night as well. So a few more parameters needs to be added to those which would all which I hope is already there or should be there. That would be the due factor. So if this becomes an annual event, all I'm saying is start working on it from now. Start collecting data from different venues, identify those and different venues in terms of due factor, how much due would each venue have. Simultaneously work on different fronts as well. For example, the SG people, start working with them on research and development of kind of improving on the ball that we have right now. That happens. Simultaneously, let's make Duleep Trophy a pink ball affair every year.
Yes, which was only once. Yeah, which was only done once or twice. And then, yes, you know, we reverted 16, to the 17. Regular red ball. Yeah, we reverted to the red ball. So you think that it is a good idea to have
So that's what I'm saying. So you have to approach this whole day-night pink ball test from different angles, right? And if you are, and which I believe people are serious about it, making it an annual event, I think it should be approached from various angles to improve on this whole concept.
In addition to just what you just said here in terms of the Duleep Trophy, I think, you know, because in Australia, there is a particular round of your Sheffield Shield, which is all day-night cricket. Isn't that so? If we can have a round of Ranji Trophy matches, which is all day-night test cricket. So if we can have a round of Ranji Trophy matches where you can say, okay, because it gives you A, the experimentation hotbed for the SG balls. Simultaneously, you also provide the opportunity for domestic players or somebody like your non-ODI or T20 players to go back and experience more day-night test cricket. And maybe you might also garner more fans coming to Ranji matches. Okay, you know, it's a novelty day-night test cricket. For example, a Ranji match happening in Jaipur and it's a day-night affair, or in Surat where we have some really strong audiences for women's T20 or women's matches or the Syed Mushtaq Ali Trophy. You know, at centers like these, a day-night Ranji affair, it might just be the turning point for domestic cricket as well. What do you think, Deep?
Well, what I think is at simultaneously there are at least 8 to 10 Ranji Trophy every round happening games simultaneously. I think that becomes an issue. That's number one. Secondly, I agree you need people coming and watching. So that's where I think Duleep Trophy is a good balance, where you don't have too many games. You have, if you have round robin between three teams, which was the format way back in 2016-17 when it was the pink day and night thing was introduced. Mm. I thought that format was really good because you still have around 50 to 54 if you have three teams, right? Yeah. You have those many domestic players, which would also include international players who will also get some experience of getting used to day-night format, because end of the day, these are the people who are going to play test match cricket. So they also need to play a few games under the lights. So I think Duleep Trophy becomes a good mix of international and the fringe or domestic players, so to say, to play that game. And you get proper feedbacks too. Right? If you have, like, for example, in 2016-17, Cheteshwar played Duleep Trophy and he got, I believe, a double 100 or something. Yes. And so you get a feedback which you want, right? At this point in time, you want very, very pointed and specific feedbacks from these guys. So you get proper feedbacks from them as well, while you give everyone of them the experience. And you also make it popular, as in day and night. Because Ranji Trophy, it becomes very difficult. I just personally believe, even though it can happen, I'm not denying that, but I don't know whether that's feasible practically to organize, you know, all the games, in a particular round, day and night and pink ball.
Right. And just the final topic of discussion on this hot take about pink ball test cricket. It's about the banter that has come all the way from Australia. Tim Payne saying, okay, we need Virat Kohli's permission to play a day and night test match. Virat, well, he was asked about it in the press conference after the match yesterday at Eden Gardens. He did not bite into the banter, but he said, okay, listen, if it's scheduled properly and if we, you know, plan for it properly, prepare for it properly, we can play. The final question, are India ready to play day-night test overseas?
I think yes. Because, listen, the way our Indian bowlers, and that's what... even Virat mentioned, if the batsmen get 250 runs on board, I think we have in India the best bowling attack in the world. One of the best, along with Australia, I'll include Australia as well. I think one of the best bowling attacks in the world across any surface, any condition. And batting too, we need to add what Virat mentioned, I think makes a lot of sense, because you need preparation. And that's why I think, you know, something like a Duleep Trophy, it becomes an annual event in the domestic circuit where you play day and night. And you make sure also the fact that the Duleep Trophy is scheduled when there is no international cricket, at least international test cricket. So you have the top test players playing the Duleep Trophy tournament. So you prepare the players that way. Then you also prepare, the manufacturers, give them the feedback, prepare a better ball, improve on what they have right now. And I think it is possible. Why not?
As much as I agree with the certain parts of your point, Deep, the issue here is in terms of your scheduling, because for what happens usually is when you go on an overseas tour to Australia, for example, you don't play too many practice matches. You play maybe one, maybe two. The last time they played two practice matches, none of them were day-night day-night practice matches, because obviously they were not playing day-night test cricket. My point here is that you need a specific sort of preparation if ahead of the first test match. And this is where I agree with Virat, that if there is planning, if there is proper structure, because the Australian domestic structure or the Australian preparatory structure for the pink ball is very different with the Indian preparatory structure. So all of this needs to be incorporated. All of this needs to be incorporated not only in the international schedule, but also in the domestic schedule, and made sure that, okay, the next time India play day-night test cricket, it's not the second time they're playing it. You know what I mean? It should not be that Virat Kohli faces the pink ball straight away on the Australian tour, or Ajinkya Rahane or Pujara or the Pacers, whoever, you know. It should not be that that's the second time they play. They should be able to play beforehand, assimilate more, experience a bit more. And it's not just a matter of scheduling an international tour. Like I said, it's also perhaps about rescheduling or re-engaging in terms of domestic cricket, as Deep Das Gupta said about Duleep Trophy becoming the center point of pink ball cricket in India. Right, That brings us to the end of this hot take. Thanks for listening. We will be back soon with a new episode before the West Indies T20 series that starts on December 6 in Hyderabad. In the meantime, do leave your feedback and comments. Share it on social media. Reach out to us on social media as well. We are now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. So you can subscribe to this podcast hotspot there as well. Until next time then, it's goodbye.
Dhoni finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.